Satan walks about on the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour next. How is Satan deceiving people today? What is he doing in the earth? And who is his Antichrist? These questions and more today on Abounding Grace Radio.
Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
What can we expect in these end times? We're so thankful you've taken time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. Today, we are going to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and considering what is commonly designated as the Antichrist, what that looks like in the earth. What does Satan's counterfeit activity, what is he doing in the earth to deceive people? All this is captured in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. You won't want to miss this one. It's so important for understanding what we are facing in a cosmic battle as we look for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to return on the clouds of heaven. Thanks today for tuning into Abounding Grace. Our number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. You can download the podcast there online for free at aegradio.org. And if you can support us, 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. This is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday from Revelation chapter 13, which I've titled A Look at Satan's Ministers, which you can find right at aegradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. He was slain. He came to life. Now we come to a section that says the beast was slain and his wound was healed. He came to life. Same words. John wants us to draw the connection. He's giving us a gift here. He had a fatal blow, came to life. Verse 8 says, all those on earth worship this beast, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Same words. The Lamb who was slain. The counterfeit. The world marveled at this. The world's taken by this beast who was killed and came to life. Now, what does verse 2 say that the dragon, false God the Father, gave him? A kingdom and all authority. It says that. You can look at verse 2 there. It's actually verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. The authority of the beast. This is so important. And he was given all authority over every tribe and nation and language and kingdom there. You'll notice there. In verse 2, it also says, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. He keeps emphasizing this. He gave it to him. Sound familiar? Of course it sounds familiar. You confess it every Sunday night. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, who... taking bits and pieces here, for us men and our salvation came down from heaven. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father, whose kingdom shall have no end, we say. So you know all this, don't you? Now, to this one who has all power and authority, this beast, the second beast testifies. He has the mouthpiece of the first beast. Everything the second beast does, everything is aimed to make the peoples of the earth worship the first beast. That sounds familiar too. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. He's the mouth. He's the mouth. Now,
You know the real story. God the Father, creator and sustainer in his wonderful providence of all things, he orders and providentially provides and sends forth his judgments into the earth, and he sends forth as a gift to this world his eternal Son, who was slain and rose victorious. And that message is cherished in the earth by you. It's your life. You marvel at that message. It's marveled over those by those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, is worshiped, and he is working right now to testify as the mouthpiece in his church through all of his servants to preach and bear witness to the Son. This is it. Upon his ascension, authority and power, Jesus said, has been given to me. Go, therefore, all the nations, preach the gospel. This beast is trying to control all the nations. Here's the greatest counterfeit of history. Dragon counterfeiting the Father, the beast counterfeiting the Son of God, the Antichrist, and the second beast is a great false prophet in the earth counterfeiting the Holy Spirit. It's really wonderful, too, as a side note to say, your doctrine of the Trinity is just proven right here, isn't it? It's Satan's activity to counter it in every way. It's really, really remarkable to consider it that way. The question, of course, is what exact form now does this take? That's what I was sitting thinking about. That's what you want to know. Where is he? Who is this? How do we identify this? And this is where things could go in many different directions. The two most prominent views being that this is either a demonized government or the Antichrist. Remember I said that this first beast is reigning the entire time of the woman going out into the wilderness? He's been alive a long time and well. Who is he? Well, this is what Revelation is about doing for us, unmasking. And I was thinking to answer that particular question, what is one of the greatest threats to us as Christians? I think if you can look at things this way, or if we could put it this way, if I were to say with my own children right now, what am I worried about with my children? What am I concerned about with my children? They have a choice, right? They have a choice. They are either going to, as they've been raised with all these many benefits and blessings, they are going to profess their faith in Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, bow their knee to him, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, identify with him, which their baptism signifies, be united to him by faith, and follow him. That's my prayer, right? That's what I want. That's what we're all after, all of you. That's our goal in ministry. Everyone here, that you identify there, that you bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They have a choice, of course, don't they? What's the other choice? Well, I think if I asked that, many of you would say unbelief. And this is where Revelation's saying, no, 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 no. It's not unbelief. It's not unbelief. You know what Paul said, the apostle, how he viewed the work of Satan? And I'm looking at this in broader categories. I certainly is unbelief in terms of not believing in Jesus, but constantly, the New Testament writers are categorizing what we call unbelief with being taken captive. Paul said this when he was thinking about people who have chosen a path of disobedience in life, when he said that we should pray for them that these people may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been captured by him to do his will. This is why Jesus was telling people, you have your father, the devil. False father. What is the contrary path? I'm always telling my children, we're always trying to tell people, what? Don't love the world. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm not talking about a globe. I'm talking about its values and its system, aren't I? This thing of the beast is demanding your heart and trying to capture a loyalty to it. And that's helping us a little bit, because the author of Revelation here, John, wrote Gospel of John, 1 John. What did he keep saying throughout the other books? Take something in 1 John. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. There's power here. Do you know what he links together with that power? Listen to it. I don't know of a better verse than 1 John 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And he goes on. The desires of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So right now, many Antichrists have come. He just said, linking together with a love of the world is all the stuff of the Antichrist. Right now. Right now. Living and reigning and taking captive people's hearts. That's how you know it's the last hour. He just said, I know you were told the Antichrist is coming. And everyone tries to play pin the tail on the Antichrist. But John just said, you need to think about this. Don't love the world, because its entire influence is governed by the stuff of the Antichrist that's already here. He is right now demanding your loyalty. Revelation 13 makes that connection, since this beast reigns 42 months, same time as the woman's witness. There have been a million ways this takes shape throughout this age. A million ways. You can understand why the reformers would say the Pope was the Antichrist. Why? Well, because that was the greatest manifestation of it at the moment. That's what they saw. That's what they lived. At the moment, those were the strongest expressions of this beast showing itself in the earth. Its system of deceiving people, its system of taking people captive and loyalties to a false gospel. In history, the highest expressions of authority is found where? Governments. Governments. What would the devil love to make you do? Trust it as a savior? And if it can't just naturally do that by giving you everything it has under the sun, forcing it. Let me give you a prime example. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors, and the treasurers, and the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. All this is borrowed right here in Revelation 13 from Daniel, by the way. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and a herald proclaimed, here's the voice. There's the second beast all of a sudden. Image, second beast, speaks. Herald proclaimed aloud, you are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, it's power there. You are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Boys and girls, you know what happened, right? To Daniel's friends? They said, no way. And into the fire they went. That's a formidable Antichrist that was set up that the whole kingdom was bowing to. Whatever form he can do it, he wants the loyalty of your hearts. He wants it. How many of people have been tempted to look to a nation and a leader as a savior? What does the world promise you? Deliverance. There are a million mouths out there constantly telling you to follow this. Listen to this as they lead you away from Jesus. In fact, you know where Satan's trying to do it most? Right here in the church. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants disguise themselves as servants of right, as ministers of righteousness. He's got pastors everywhere, making people and pushing them to the beast. And we just sit there and say, oh, it's all in the name of Jesus. It's okay. Counterfeits are everywhere. And there's great power by a false Holy Spirit who can woo with everything under the sun. He can dazzle with words. He can dazzle with power, lying signs, and lying wonders, and take your hearts captive. Do you notice the connection with idolatry? Do you notice that's his key ingredient? What do we say idolatry is? Trusting in anything we put our trust in place of or alongside of the only true God. So here are my children. I'm preaching Jesus to them. I'm leading them to the Christ of the Bible as the scriptures have revealed him. I'm pressing them. Think of all the false voices that are coming at them all the time. Think of it. Think of all the pressures that are coming at us all the time. Ask a preschooler what they want to be. Preschooler. You know what they'll tell you? A rock star. It's in them. It's in them. That's what they want to be. It's the system. Here's the beast in front of them offering everything. All the sex you want, all the highs you can get, all the things that will make for whatever to demand the loyalty of our hearts. Oh, when you reject Jesus, you're not in some neutral state. You're bowing. You're bowing. He wants to own you. He's trying to purchase you. There's an ownership issue going on. And a false Holy Spirit is opening his mouth constantly, hitting them with everything he can use of this world, hitting them constantly, pulling them to the beast. The world promises you it all, immediate gratification. Go ahead. This Jesus of Scripture is way too strict. You can have it all. They're fundamentalists. That's how it's gone now. They're from the beginning trying to be owned by this system. That's Revelation 13. You and your children from the beginning are trying to be owned. Don't you see it? It's the power and grip of this allure of darkness and for them to give allegiance to it. And then the Bible says they've accepted the lie. They fell into the deceitfulness of sin. They've exchanged, listen to Romans 1. They've exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who's forever blessed. That's what it is. It's worship. It's worship. That's why Revelation's showing you a contrast of worship. The section closes by giving us the end game to all of this. There's a goal. Notice it in verse 16. And this beast, false prophet, causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked. We've been talking a lot about marking in Revelation, haven't we? On the right hand or on the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of man, and his number is 666. If you understand that in context, that is really clear. You're not in a neutral category. You have either come to the Father through the Son by the testimony of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of Jesus. And you take great delight in that message. That has captured your hearts, hasn't it? Hasn't the gospel captured your hearts today of God's unfailing love? And you're so thankful for that. You know what you are. You follow. Your desire of your hearts have all changed, haven't they? The desire of your hearts has changed, hasn't it? You want to love him. You want to follow. You're mesmerized by the wonderful forgiveness that God gave his son to do this. Then Or you've accepted the counterfeit system. Your heart and your loyalties are in an entirely different place. You got to think about that. Your heart and your loyalties are in an entirely different place. You have either been marked by God, what do you consider? Sealed, measured, written on by God himself in the Lamb's book of life slain from the foundation of the world. That's where you are. Or you have loved the world, accepted what it has offered you, and you've given allegiance to a false trinity, one that is fueled on deception, one that has been taken captive by Satan, demanding your heart as you fall under the mouthpiece and voice of deception that's all over this earth. Now, I find that to be the most helpful exposure in the book of Revelation, because the encouragement here, and exposure is so important in the scriptures. This is what it's doing for us. But I want you to notice here that the goal of it is to say, when the devil is standing on the seashore and saying, and here they come, I see it. Don't you see it? Can't you see it all around you? Do you see this beast and the mouth all around you? Can't you feel its pull? It's stressing you out all the time. This is what's causing all your heartache. But verse 9 says something really to help you. Here's the patience of the saints. These ruthless foes may take into captivity, may kill by the sword, but here's the patience. Christ's kingdom comes and nothing stops it. I love hearing from the end of Jude, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Nothing changes what's now to come in the next chapter. We'll close with this thought. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion. And there with him are all the elect, having his father's name written on their foreheads, the true father. These were redeemed from among being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. He bought you. He purchased you. That's next time. But I want to say here this morning that anyone struggling with the position of belief in Jesus, maybe it's a young person, maybe it's you today, don't believe the lie. You can have a lot of fun spending money you don't have, can't you? Sure you can. But one day the bill collector is going to come and call for the debt, isn't he? What happens when you have nothing to pay with? Satan in this world is pushing for your identity to take you captive, and it's a lie. You don't want to make that mistake. I think you should be able to see this so clearly, can't you? It's actually one of the benefits of a turbulent time that we live. It's one of the benefits of going through this right now. It's going to strip away false Christians, but it's going to make us see things very clearly. I say today, then come to the true King of kings and Lord of lords. You know what that blasphemous name is on the beast's head? King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the Jesus preached to you, the true King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Holy Spirit bears witness of him today. He will sanctify you and he will keep you by his powerful word. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your wonderful exposure that you gave us today. And since we've known it all our life, we've just not been able to categorize it and understand it in these terms, but it's right in front of us. And thank you for giving us a framework to understand it. How sad it is that there would be this kind of counterfeit system of the work of the triune God in the earth. And yet, through it all, we see your power to keep your people, that even though this enemy is so formidable and so powerful and has such allure, the power of the Holy Spirit testifying to the work of Christ who lived and died and rose again is much more powerful as we come to a Father who loves us and is able to keep us. Thank you for hearing us today and answering us, and encourage your sheep in your word that gives them light in this present darkness. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.